And in the traffic hunt is Esmeralda Leon. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, good. Are you excited about Double Dare returning?
Oh, I'm curious to see how they're going to change it.
Yeah.
If they change it. Well, I would,
you can't,
I would hope so.
You can't change it.
I mean, they got to update it somehow. Something texting or Snapchat.
Well,
they,
I mean, some sort of technology will be involved. But
the
here's
maybe the snot that comes out of the nose will be a little more refined. Yes.
The other thing that I always found very amusing was that, I don't know if you guys know this, but Mark Summers is a germaphobe.
Oh, yeah.
And he would get slimed. Like, they would slime him. But I guess the slime was made of, like, soap. It was, like, a clean kind of a thing.
It was only his slime.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I thought it was always interesting, like, because he's a known germaphobe. And I thought, wow, that's interesting that he allows himself to get slimed. But let me read the story here about Double Dare coming back. And then we're going to talk about kids television shows from the 90s. I have an alphabetical list of some of the great television shows from the 90s that the kids watched, and I'll let you guys reminisce, because I'm not a 90s kid, I'm a 70s kid. So 70s sort of 80s kid. But let's hear this. Double Dare is coming back to Nickelodeon, and the game show favorite will return to the network this summer to give, quote, a new generation of kids the chance to compete in the messiest, most physically challenging competition of their lives. That's what they said, Nickelodeon announced on Wednesday. The decision to bring the series back came a year and a half after Nickelodeon paid tribute to the game show with a 30th anniversary special. Oh, yeah, that's right. They had the big special. Double Dare ran on Nickelodeon from 1986 to 1993, and it was revived for a brief run in 2000. The original show was hosted by Mark Summers and co-hosted by Robin Morella. I don't remember Robin Morella. Do you remember, Dan, do you remember Robin Morella?
I do not.
Who's Robin Morella? I remember Mark Summers.
Hmm. She's not the lady with the accent. No, that was More a Quirk or something.
I don't even know.
One of the other shows.
Esmeralda, do you remember Robin Morella?
No, how could you forget him?
No,
I have no idea who that is.
No, I think it might be a woman. Although Robin is also a man's name, so I don't
know.
How
do you spell that?
It's with an I, not a Y, so it could be either way.
It is a woman.
Okay.
It looks like it was like an early edition. Like, she might have been part of, like, the first couple seasons, but then not so much after.
Yeah, then Mark Summers took off and became the superstar that he is today.
She may have been the one who occasionally explained the games, but also, like, you know, was the model that would be playing the keyboard that you would win.
Oh, right. Or, like, showing the prizes.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Talking in the boombox.
They felt so bad for Robin.
The spokeswoman.
They had to give her a job.
Yeah. It's not yet known who will host this new iteration. You got to bring back Mark Summers. Although Mark Summers is a big dude, like a major player with the Food Network. Like a big time. I think he's like one of the, you know, big like co-owners of the Food Network. His credits are all over those shows on the Food Network. It is not yet known who's going to host, though Nickelodeon said the revived series will, quote, feature appearances from blasts from the past, longtime Double Dare fans, and stars from today. Oh, this is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
On Double Dare, two teams compete against each other for prizes by answering trivia questions and completing some very often messy physical challenges, all culminating in the show's kid-friendly obstacle course. Think hamster wheel and giant gunk-filled nose. A season premiere date has not been announced yet, but it will be in the summer.
I feel like all of the obstacles need to be a little tougher, because kids nowadays seem a little tougher.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think that there's more sports and, you know, like, think about ninjas. There's all these kids doing the ninja stuff nowadays.
Ninja parkour. We'll have Skip Skipley.
Yes.
Skip Skipley should host. Right, Dan, don't you think? Because
it
put some parkour in there.
The possibilities.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, Double Dare is coming back, and we're going to talk about some of the kids' shows from the 90s and then reminisce a little bit about that. Some of these I haven't heard of, so you guys are going to have to help me out here and on the phones and the texts. Call in right now or text, and we're reminiscing about some kids' shows from the 90s. And are you excited about Double Dare's return? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday, man. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. Lou starts us off with the Drifters up on the roof, so we'll hear two more Drifter songs. One artist, three songs. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200. Follow us on Twitter as well, at Nick D Show. The best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. You should like us right now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. facebook.com/NickDShow. Welcome back, everybody. We were just talking before the break about the very popular Nickelodeon show from the late 80s and early 90s, Double Dare, featuring the fantastic Mark Summers. And everybody used to watch that. And so we were talking also about some of the stuff that you remember from the 90s television shows, kids television shows from the 90s. I think it's very funny. I didn't know what the subject of the promo that Cochran was going to have for the show this morning was that I played coming out of talking about something that was very popular in the early 90s, and then suddenly Cochran's promo is about Zima. I think that's hilarious that Cochran ordered. I can't even picture Cochran ordering a Zima. Could you imagine Cochran in the 90s walking up to a bar going, "Can I have a Zima?"
No, that is, yeah.
I worked at Ginger's Ale House when Zima came out, and so I don't know. I can't remember. The boss ordered like 5 cases of it, and we ended up like with 4 left because I tried a Zima. And I drank like a half of one and went, yeah, that's it. I don't need this anymore. But yeah, those were popular. The Zima was popular for about 10 minutes in the 90s. And I remember at one point, like the boss said, look, just try to get rid of the Zimas. We're going to sell them $1 a bottle. Just, we got to get rid of these things. And eventually, I think it took like a year before all the Zimas were drunk. So I don't know. Hey, Dan, you remember the, I mean, you weren't, I don't know if you were, you weren't old enough to drink, I don't think, in, no, you weren't. You weren't old enough to drink, like, in the mid-90s. No, of course not. No. You were, like, 11 or 12 in the mid-90s. Okay. So, there was a fad, I'm sure you remember it. I mean, you were conscious, so you probably remember it, but you just weren't old enough to participate. You remember when everything was ice? Like they had, and I still think.
I had like memory foams, I had feather pillows, and I'd always wake up with neck pain.
Today's after technology sleeping, makes a lot of things easier simply because everything's connected. Your cell phone's connected to your.
What happened there, man?
The button to start the commercials is right above the button to turn on my microphone.
Oh, so we have to. Okay, so you got
to. Yeah, so I have to excuse myself while you talk about ice beer so I can fix it.
How great is it that that Cochran said that technology makes things a lot easier? When that happened. That's right after Cochran finished his Zima. Anyway, Esmeralda, have you ever had a Zima?
I haven't had a Zima, but I've had a Bud Ice.
You've had Bud Ice?
Yeah.
How about dry? Did you ever have any beers that are dry?
No.
There was like Michelob dry, and there was there were a couple of other dry. If I remember correctly, one of the dry beers, something dry, I can't remember what, I don't know if it was Budweiser dry or, but The theme song was "Every Day Is Halloween" by Ministry. That's the one thing I remember was one of the dry beers was "Every Day Is Halloween" by Ministry was the theme song
for the industrial set.
Yeah, well that's not an industrial song. That's before they went industrial.
Oh, it's before. Wow.
Yeah, they had an album, a full album before they went industrial. Did you know that they used to sound like Depeche Mode?
Oh, okay.
Ministry's first album. Oh, have you not heard the story about my friend Joe?
I remember you telling it.
What happened was there was a Jen. You know Ministry, correct?
Sorry.
Okay.
Can't say I do.
Well, I mean, they became Al Jorgensen is the guy behind Ministry, and they're like a very, very popular industrial heavy band.
Well, I like Depeche Mode, so
you'd like Ministry's first album. Okay. Unlike Al Jorgensen, who hates the first album.
Well,
and hates it, like completely hates it. I don't have time to tell the story here because we have to go to the news. Are we all set? Can I do the thing with the thing? All right. We'll come back, and then we're going to talk about Zima. No, we're going to talk about 90s kids shows and more. And I'll tell the Al Jorgensen story again for people who haven't heard it. News is coming up after this. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. It's one artist, three songs. Lou picked the Drifters, Under the Board. Well, make up your mind. Do you want to be under the boardwalk or up on the roof?
What? Right?
I mean, come on, man.
They kind of sound exactly alike.
Yeah. It's the Drifters. They're awesome. But they just, you figure out where you want to make. Maybe the next song is about being like on a sidewalk instead of like underneath the landmine.
You're not wrong.
No.
They sing about places.
They sing about places up, below, and on the surface. That's the Drifters. Because they're drifting. That's why. Hey, it's Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio here, the Showcase studio right on Michigan Avenue here till 5 o'clock. After 4:30, Mike Oswald is going to join us. It is National Parks Week. And he's written a fantastic guide called Your Guide to National Parks. He's visited 48 of the 58 national parks in the country and has firsthand experience of how to enjoy these national parks. So we'll have that coming up after 4:30. We're going to talk about stock characters, stereotype characters, and movie cliches and stuff like that. So that's all coming up. Right now, we're going to jump into kids' television shows from the 90s. We were talking also about Zima and Ice Beer and... Is Ice Beer still around? I think because I remember Ice House, there was Bud Ice. There were like every version had an ice, but Ice House was the one. I think that was,
Ice House is still around.
Is it still around?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Okay,
someone was at a BYOB sushi place,
and they brought
a big old Ice House.
I don't know why I find that amusing. Did they get in their DeLorean and go back to 1995 after that?
I guess it's good.
I don't know. I've never had it with sushi, but I had Ice House back in the day. Yep. And you drank the ice beer because it had a higher alcohol content because of the way.
Oh, really? Is that what?
Oh yeah.
I would assume ice. It would be iced.
No. It has higher water. But no, it has higher alcohol content. Trust me, I was a professional at trying to find the most alcohol I could possibly get. So, anyway, real quickly, though, about the ministry story, my friend Joe Donatello, hey, listen, that guy passed away at a very young age and was always, like, the energy in the room surrounded him. And he has some fantastic celebrity encounters that Joe had when he was alive, Oliver Stone being one of the greatest, his little encounter with Oliver Stone at China Club, which is one of my favorite stories. But he had an encounter with Al Jorgensen, who is the guy who started Ministry, and a notorious Chicagoan who spent many years like really screwed up on all kinds of drugs and heroin. And he would drive around the city with his crazy dreadlocks. He's a nut, this guy, Al Jorgensen. He's nuts. And if you know even the smallest part of the Chicago music scene, you know what an insane legend that Al Jorgensen is. Well, Ministry became very, very popular as an industrial band. And in their, you know, in their heyday, they were hardcore industrial, that kind of thing, sort of just on the verge of speed metal, but industrial crazy stuff. But when Ministry started, their first album, it sounded like Depeche Mode. And so Al Jorgensen hates it. It's their first album. He hates it. He doesn't even acknowledge it. The record company made them do that record. Because what he wanted to do was the stuff that they are known for now, the industrial heavy stuff. But the record company was like, no, you got to do, you know, this new wave stuff is really popular now. So you got to do it that. And so the first Ministry album is called With Sympathy. That's the album. If you want to look it up, or download it, it'll make Al Jorgensen very mad if you do that. But anyway, it sounds like early 80s, which it is. It's early 80s new wave, kind of Depeche Mode-y, kind of new wavy sound. In fact, they were on the bill for the Police at Comiskey Park on the Synchronicity Tour in 83. And they fit right in because it was The Fix, Flock of Seagulls, Ministry, the Police, and for some reason Joan Jett, which doesn't fit in with the rest of the thing. But anyway, so Joe, my friend Joe, loves the first album, loves With Sympathy, because Joe's, like, his favorite band was Depeche Mode. He loves all that. He loved all that kind of stuff. So he adored the first album and the single that came out a couple of years after the album, which is Every Day is Halloween, which is also a new wavy dance kind of a song. And then when they switched over to industrial, Joe was heartbroken. I remember when he brought the first album of that style home and he put it on, he's like, what is this? And it's all, you know, like that really heavy industrial stuff. And Joe was heartbroken. He was heartbroken. He's like, what is this band? What the hell happened to this band? I used to listen. What happened? And so Joe used to be a record producer. He was an assistant and a record and an engineer and all that stuff. So one night he's at one of the studios down here, downtown. And it had like three different studios, and they were like in Studio B or something, and they're mixing some dance song. And so Joe goes out to get some coffee in the vending machine area. So he goes out, he's getting some coffee, and all of a sudden, coming out of Studio A is Al Jorgensen, and he's all, you know, he's all hopped up on go-go juice or something because he's Al Jorgensen. He's a lunatic. He looks like he hasn't bathed in 6 months, and he's dressed like a lunatic. He's got the dreadlocks and the sunglasses. He kind of comes staggering into the to the vending machine area, and Joe looks over at him and is like, and like genuinely excited, you know, that Al Jorgensen is there. And he goes, "Hey, Al Jorgensen," you know, which is a great thing to say to the person. And he just kind of looks at Al Jorgensen, looks at him. And Joe, in all seriousness, goes, "Hey, listen, what the hell happened after that first album?" And so he really said it to him, and Al Jorgensen spit at him and turned around and walked out. And Joe goes, "Hey, that's a little rude." And he was so mad. "Hey, what the hell happened after that first album?" It's one of my favorite stories. It's like the last thing on earth that you want to do is mention the first album to Al Jorgensen. "Hey, what the hell happened after the first album?" That's my favorite. So that's my one of my favorite Joe stories, the Al Jorgensen story. And then he went and had a Zima. All right. Now, let's see if you guys remember some of these. You guys are younger than I am. So maybe see if you remember. Now, do you remember these are in alphabetical order? Well, it starts with a numerically, and then alphabetical order, these shows. Let's see if you guys remember them. Anybody want to jump in? It's 312-981-7200. 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd.
Do not.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Dan?
No clue.
All right. Anybody know 100 Deeds of Eddie McDowd?
Who's Eddie McDowd?
I have no idea. All I have is the title in front of me. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe we can do a little research on it. Okay, what about this one? Ah, Real Monsters.
Oh, I loved Real Monsters.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about it, Esmeralda.
So it was a group of young monsters that...
Was it animated?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was animated, and they all essentially went to... They were the monsters that are in your nightmares and stuff like that, that are crawling under your bed.
Oh, okay.
And they are going to school to learn how to be monsters. Because they're little kid monsters.
So did this precede Monsters, Inc. from Pixar?
Well, yeah, because...
Wow!
They stole it
from
them.
Pixar stole it!
And they were a little ookier than Monsters, Inc. monsters.
Okay.
Like, one guy looked like a piece of Play-Doh with arms, and he would hold his eyes in his arms.
So like, well, okay, you know what? Guillermo del Toro ripped that off.
Yeah. Oh, it's very, you know what? Honestly, yeah. It's very much like
Is it like the Pan's Labyrinth, dude?
Yeah. But like softer, rounder corners.
So that was a fun show?
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah?
It was great.
Jen, did you like it?
Yeah, the main character, Incus, he had a dog once, and they had like a song that was Incus and Fungus, he's not a virus. Yeah.
Wow.
I watched a lot of that.
Evidently. Dan, did you watch Real Monsters?
I did not, but I did find the show synopsis for 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd.
All right, what is 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd?
Starred a school bully who got turned into a dog by a drifter for being a bad kid.
Oh.
He then ends up in a pound where he's adopted by the last kid he bullied.
Oh, no, come on, seriously?
From there, Eddie McDowd has to perform 100 good deeds in order to become a kid again.
That is fantastic. What was there? Was it live action?
It was live action.
Oh my god! That is
anyone looking for this kid? He's a dog now, and no one's like, "Hey, where's my lost child?"
Unfortunately, it only made it to 40 episodes, so I don't know if he got his 100 deeds in.
Oh yeah, because he wasn't even halfway there when they canceled the show.
He's 60. He made it to 60 in those 40s.
He made it to 60?
And 60 good deeds in those 40 episodes.
Okay. Oh, I have to find this. I got to YouTube this. All right. How about The Adventures of Pete and Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Dan, you watched that, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That was a very popular show. How about Aladdin?
The movie?
No, this is a TV show. I guess it's based on the movie. I guess it's a spin-off from the movie. I don't remember.
Wait, are all these Nickelodeon shows?
Are they? No, I don't know.
No, because that would be
Disney.
No,
yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, I actually watch one episode of that every 2 days because it's on a princess DVD that my daughter likes.
Rock on, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Fatherhood.
Mm-hmm. Did you? Hey, have you watched Coco yet?
Yes. Well, I didn't watch it, but they did.
What did she think?
She liked it. She liked it very much. So
it's a little. I mean, it's a little.
Yeah, it's a little heady for her.
Yeah.
So, but you know, she the parts that she got, she enjoyed.
Now that's cool.
Yeah,
it's such a good movie, man.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Coco, it's so good. And prepare, as Esmeralda and I have spoken on before, have Kleenex at the helm. Because you're gonna cry. There's no question about it.
Forgive me. I still got the Eddie Dowd thing up.
No, please. More, the more we know about the 100 deeds of Eddie McDowd, the better off we're going to be as humans.
Maybe we can get him to do the 40 more.
Yeah. The opening theme for season was You Got Me by the Hippos, but wisely in season 2 and 3, they switch it to Who Let the Dogs Out by the Baha Men.
This gets better by the minute, Dan.
Do you think that was the downfall because they had to spend all that money on the Baha Men?
That's right. They had to pay the money to the Seattle Mariners.
And featured one of the guys who was in Pete and Pete.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
One of the Petes?
One of the Petes.
Okay.
The younger Pete.
All right, the 100 Deeds. Well, first of all, here's what we're discovering talking about this. I need to see 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd, because it might be the greatest concept in television history.
And the drifter who changed him was Richard Mull.
What?
Yes.
From Night Court?
Yes.
Bull from Night Court turned a kid into a dog. This sounds like the best show in the history of television. how is this not on right now? Oh, my God.
I wonder, did the dog talk to people? Like, how is he doing these deeds?
I don't know.
The only one who can hear him talk is Justin Taylor, the kid who adopted him.
Okay, and I'm sorry, how did
you... The bully can hear him. He's the kid who was bullied. He was bullied, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
right.
his owner slash the kid.
By the way, how did you not throw this out? Seth Green is the voice of the dog.
In only season one, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
It's a screen cap. So.
No. Then he was replaced by Wayne Arnold from The Wonder Years.
Okay, listen. This is getting better. This is the greatest television show of all time. I am convinced that this might be... I haven't seen one episode of it. I never even heard of it before this morning, but I'm going to get every single episode of this on Blu-ray.
Get ready to break.
What?
A pug that's Eddie's friend and next-door neighbor?
Yeah.
Salvatore, voiced by Joe Piscopo.
Okay, we're breaking. I can't handle it. Do you think Lou picked these three specifically to have a thematic Triple Play Thursday?
I mean, Lou's a pretty smart guy from the text that I've received from him, so...
Yeah. Triple Play Thursday. It's One Artist, Three Songs, Lou, The Drifters on Broadway. They made it to the sidewalk. They were underneath for a while, and then they were up on the roof for a little while. Now they're on the sidewalk. By the way, do we have any people calling in or texting in about 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd? Has anybody watched this show? Because
not a one.
Nobody? How did this show not have the highest ratings in the history of television? It should have been, every episode should have been rated higher than the MASH finale. Anybody, 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd. If you've seen it, stop what you're doing and call or text us right now. Because I want someone who, from firsthand, who's actually watched an episode of what sounds to me like the most magical television show ever. Okay. We're going down some children's shows from the 90s to see if you guys recognize them, okay? Esmeralda, what about All That?
Oh, for sure.
Tell us about All That.
That was a sketch comedy show. Very much in the vein of SNL.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And it was kids doing crazy sketch comedy.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's where Kenan Thompson came from and Kel.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that they came from, you know, Kenan and Kel.
And yeah. Good Burger was a sketch on All That.
Oh, really? And yeah. Then it turned into a movie.
Mm hmm.
And now Kenan Thompson has been on SNL for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I think this is his 16th year. I think he broke the record. He broke Tim Meadows' record. Or Daryl Hammond's record. I don't know, either one of them. Daryl Hammond is right. Well, Daryl Hammond's still there. He's just the announcer now. Okay, what about The Amanda Show?
Now, that was... So, Amanda... I can't remember her name.
Bynes?
Yes, Amanda Bynes. She was on All That.
Oh.
And then they broke off and she got her own show.
Okay. And then she kind of went loopy. Didn't she lose her lid?
Yeah, she got a little bit.
Yeah.
Off kilter.
How about Angela Anaconda?
No.
What the hell is that? What is Dan?
I really hope it's about a lady snake.
I can't. I would hope so. And I hope John Voight and J-Lo are in it. And Ice Cube. That's the movie Anaconda. If you haven't seen, we talked about crazy animals going nuts movies, Esmeralda. In addition to Food of the Gods and Frogs, you need to see Anaconda.
I'll make it a triple feature.
It's pretty fantastic. John Voight's accent alone. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what he's supposed... I believe he's supposed to be Puerto Rican in it. But I'm not sure what accent he's doing. It's like... Because in Carlito's Way, Al Pacino is supposed to be Puerto Rican. And he's doing... I don't know what he's doing. But of course, in Scarface, he's supposed to be Cuban. So I don't know what's going on there either. So do we know anything about Angela Anaconda?
It just seems to be an alliteration. It does not seem to feature any snakes.
Do we know what the show is?
Angela Anaconda is a tomboyish, imaginative, freckle-faced 8-year-old girl who eschews the femininity commonly associated with other girls her age. She resides in the town of Tapwater Springs with her parents, two dim-witted elder brothers.
Is it animated?
Angela will engage... Yes, it looks like it is. Okay. Will engage in at least one dream sequence. And the majority of the feature is her rivals, Nanette Manor and Mrs. Brink, sinking vengeance on them in unrealistic fashions.
Oh, okay. Angela Anaconda. Doesn't sound quite as memorable as 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd, but then again, what does? All right, now this next one is legendary. There's no reason to ask if anybody knows it. Animaniacs.
Yep.
That show rules the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about Animorphs?
That was at least for me, it was past me watching Nickelodeon, but yeah. It was essentially kids turning into animals.
Oh.
They would morph. Animorph. See where they're going?
I see. Did anybody become an anaconda?
I don't know.
Dan, you remember Animorphs?
I do not.
You remember Animaniacs, obviously.
Surely.
Yeah. All right, how about there's another one that everybody will remember, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yep.
Classic.
Aren't they rebooting that?
I think so. I do. I think they did. Hey, was Goosebumps ever a TV show, or was that just, those were just
no,
books?
It was a TV show.
Oh, it was? Mm-hmm. Okay, because, I mean, I know they're very popular books, and they made that damn movie with Jack Black a couple of years ago. all right, we have to break. So, and then we got more here. But jump in here. Television shows from the 90s, kids shows that you watch, 312-981-7200. And I want the fan club for 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd to start calling in and texting at 312-981. I'm now obsessed. Totally obsessed. All right, we'll take a break. News is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. And I'll be on for my weekly visit at 6:20 with Steve Cochran and the gang talking about the new movies that open this week and a little independent movie called Avengers Infinity War opens in one theater this weekend. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And Triple Play Thursday, Triple Play Thursday continues. Margaret in Bridgeport with some John Denver, and that's Rocky Mountain High. So there you go. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. The author of Your Guide to the National Parks is going to join us. His name is Mike Oswald. It's National Parks Week, and we're going to tell you how you can take advantage of these beautiful places. He has personally been to 48 of the 58 parks. And he'll give you all the advice. And the book, by the way, is an incredible guide. It's really amazing. So we'll talk about that coming up after the 4:30 news. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And we've been talking about kid shows from the 90s, and particularly 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd. Anybody? No, still no, not one text or call.
Still not one.
Wow.
You should try to get them all on the show. Just a bit of a reunion.
Yeah. You know, I've interviewed Joe Piscopo. I should have asked him about it.
I'm sure he has stories.
Yeah, I bet he's got tons of stories about 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd. All right, let's do a few more of these. Of course, we have Arthur. Everybody remembers Arthur. He was the drunk played by Dudley Moore. No, I don't. That's not the one that we're talking about. How about this one? Bananas in Pajamas.
I didn't watch it, but I know it.
Bananas in pajamas are walking up the stairs. Bananas in pajamas are chasing teddy bears.
Wow, you seem to know all the songs.
Yeah, I've got a problem.
I'm assuming it was animated, unless, you know, they put actual bananas in pajamas and threw them around the room.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I know all of the songs because my sister would have them on constantly.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and she was a little bit younger than me, so.
All right.
It's a British show, and there were like these big, essentially, dudes in big banana costumes. You couldn't see the people at all.
Oh, so,
but they were in pajamas.
Oh, I'm sure I would have laughed. Oh, my God. Do they look like mascots? Because I would laugh. In a giant banana costume?
Yeah.
That's enough to make me laugh. We have next, Barney. Well, let's skip that.
Yeah.
Bear in the Big Blue House.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. I don't know it. Dan, do you know Bear in the Big Blue House?
I do not.
What about you, Esmeralda?
I think it was kind of the same thing like Barney.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
He was a a man in a bear costume? I want to say.
You are correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they just put a lot of people in costumes here for these. How about Big Bad Beetleborgs?
Mm-mm. I have no idea.
What the hell is that? Dan, what is Big Bad Beetleborgs? Do you know? Do you know what that is?
A trio of preteens are dared by two snobby brothers into going into a haunted house that's occupied by a trio of monsters. The kids accidentally free a genie. The genie offers to grant them one wish. What? They decide to become their favorite comic book heroes, the Beetleborgs.
Wow. Is
Do
it
they
animated?
Turn
is
into
it...
beetles?
They are beetle. They have beetle-esque costumes.
Okay. Is it animated?
Beetle cyborgs.
No, it's live action.
Oh, it's live action?
Yes.
All right.
Like Seth Power Rangers?
Seth Green yes. involved in it at all?
Yes, Power Ranger-esque.
Okay. How about the Big Comfy Couch?
That was a weird show.
Oh, as opposed to some of these other ones we've been talking about?
No, so it pretty much took place on this, quote-unquote, little girl's couch. She was a clown.
What?
Yeah. And it was a huge couch. Giant. And she would get on it, and then her little cohort was a rag doll that would kind of move. It was really kind of frightening. And she would dig around in the couch and, like, pull out
change,
toys and things.
Oh.
Yeah, no toys. But I was always confused because I never knew, like, do you have parents? Do you just, is this where you reside?
Yeah.
You live on this couch forever?
And it was just a little girl.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And it was animated, right?
No.
Oh, it wasn't animated?
No. No, it was a lady dressed up like a clown, but she was supposedly a little girl.
God. You know, that's...
And everything was giant because it was a giant couch.
Okay. Wow. That would be the Big Comfy Couch. All right. Bill Nye the Science Guy, we don't need to talk about that because he's the king.
He is.
He's the best. Blue's Clues, we know about that. That's still running, isn't it? That show?
A version of it is, yeah.
Is it still with his little brother?
I don't know. I never watched it.
Didn't that show ruin the host life or something?
No, he's fine.
He's fine?
Okay. I don't know what's happening now.
Oh, just that
Steve Burns.
That he would go everywhere and people would associate him with that or something and he couldn't get other positions, I thought.
Oh.
I mean, pretty much, but now he has a music career.
Oh,
he does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about The Busy World of Richard Scarry?
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
I've heard of it. I mean, I know I used to watch it, but did it have to do with a mouse?
I have no idea.
So it was an animal town. All these, it was animated, but it was little, you know, it was just a town.
All right. Okay, all right.
And all, you know, a mouse ran a store or something. And I think Richard Scarry was the guy who wrote it.
Oh, all right.
And then I don't know, I forget what the character is. I just remember thinking, that's a weird name for the character in it, but they're like, no, that's the author's
name. That's the author's name. Okay. I don't think it's as good as 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd, as we all have discovered.
I wonder if that's on Netflix.
I have to get it. What about cat dog? One word.
Yeah. It was one animal. One side had a head of a dog. The other side had a head of a cat.
Okay, that just seems weird.
Yeah. They got into all sorts of shenanigans because they wanted to do cat stuff and they wanted to do dog stuff. And
okay. Yeah, Esmeralda, did you ever watch that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know cat dog.
Yeah, I loved cat dog.
All right.
It had a snazzy theme song. It was country western.
Oh, okay. How about Clarissa Explains It All? That
yeah.
one's obvious, yes. Courage the Cowardly Dog. Loved that show. Cow and Chicken. You guys remember Cow and Chicken, right?
So messed up.
Yeah, I loved Cow and Chicken. I thought Cow and Chicken was great. How about Darkwing Duck?
Let's Get Dangerous.
Yeah. No, you know the song for that, Darkwing Duck?
Yeah, I do.
Dexter's Laboratory, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaurs. Oh, that's the ABC puppet show.
Oh, the Not the Mama one.
Yeah, the show that was like, it was primetime on ABC, and it was like Jim Henson did the puppets for dinosaurs. Doug. Doug's still on, right?
Love Doug.
Still on?
Yeah.
Dragon Tales. Dragon Tales, they made a movie out of, if I remember that, because I had to see it to review it, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. It wasn't quite as creepy as that Pikachu movie, the Pokemon movie, the first one, I remember sitting in the theater over across the street here at the 600 North Michigan, and I saw it on a Friday night before I came on, before I got on the show to review it, and I was like, I don't know what, it freaked me out. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I remember sitting in the theater going, I don't know what's going on, and I think I want to leave. This is scarier than The Exorcist. I think I need to leave now. Ed and Eddie. You remember Ed and Eddie?
Yeah, that was on Cartoon Network. It was brothers. They were a little weird.
Yeah, I remember the name. I don't think I ever watched it.
Yeah.
I would watch a show called Tony.
I mean, come on.
The
theme song would be great.
Yes, of course it would.
What's with all these parents using the same name for their kids? Ed and Eddie and Pete and Pete.
Pete and Pete. How about Figure It Out?
That was a game show.
Was it a game show? I don't know. Figure It Out.
It
sounds like, I mean, the title sounds as though it would be a game show.
Yeah.
Hey, figure it out, punk. What about Freakazoid?
Oh gosh, yeah.
What's Freakazoid? Animated?
Yeah, that was in the grouping of Animaniacs.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. It would at least come on. It was the WB cartoon, and it was a guy, something had happened to him where he would turn into this character called Freakazoid. It had something to do with the internet.
Maybe if I looked at it.
He looked crazy. It was very Jim Carrey.
I bet I would know it if I saw it. If it was associated with Animaniacs, I've probably seen it.
It was, I would say it was the same. It looked very much the same animation.
Yeah.
And it had those kind of adult jokes and all that kind of stuff. But he would turn into, he was like a mild-mannered computer guy.
And then he turned into a Freakazoid.
Yeah, he would turn into this character with like crazy hair, essentially like Jim Carrey's The Mask.
Oh, all right. How about Gargoyles? Everybody knows that one. The animated show Gargoyles. What about Global Guts?
I never understood Global Guts. I never caught it when it was
on.
Yeah.
That's the one with Maura Quirk, right?
I don't know.
It was a competition, but the global version, I think that they brought in just people, kids from all over the world. They'll have like so-and-so from England, so-and-so from Japan.
Okay. All right, let's break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more. And again, I have an APB out for anybody who has seen 100 Deeds of Eddie McDowd. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more after this on 720 WGN. God, this song was huge in the 70s. Triple Play Thursday. Triple Play Thursday, put it! One artist, three songs. Get them in, 312-981-7200. Margaret Bridgeport wanted to hear some John Denver. That's Annie's song. So... Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6. So there you go. We're talking about '90s kid shows, particularly the genius of 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd. So here are some more. See if you guys recognize these. They do have Goosebumps on here. Hey Arnold. You remember Hey Arnold?
It's a great show.
Okay. Inspector Gadget. Wait a minute.
That was a cartoon.
No, I know. It was a cartoon when I was a kid, too. So, oh, I mean,
well, it looked updated.
Oh, okay. Do you guys remember the movie?
What's his face?
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
It was so bad. It was absolutely terrible. What was it? Brendan Fraser available? Because Brendan Fraser did George of the Jungle. He did
that monkey one, Monkey Bone.
Well, Monkey Bone. Well, I mean, I was talking about the ones that were based on actual cartoons.
Oh, okay.
Monkey Bone. By the way, is a great movie. If I love Monkey Bone. Henry Selick directed that movie. The guy who directed Coraline. He directed Nightmare Before Christmas. Tim Burton didn't. I think people need to understand that Henry Selick directed it, even though it says Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. But Henry Selick made Monkey Bone, and it got taken away from him, and they recut it. But his version is genius. And actually, I like the version that they released. But if you get a chance, if you ever rent Monkey Bone, I'm sure people watch Monkey Bone on a regular basis. Go to the Red Box at your Jewels and get Monkey Bone. But if you ever get a chance, listen to the commentary, because it's fantastic. It's Henry Selick just going off on the studio for making him make all these changes. Another great one like that, great commentary, is Paul Thomas Anderson's commentary on Hard Eight, his first film. He never refers to it as Heart 8. He refuses to refer to it as Heart 8 during the commentary. And it's him bitching about the Reicher company who made him, you know, they took the movie away from him and recut it and stuff. They made him change the title to Heart 8. They changed the title to Heart 8. He never refers to it as Heart 8 because his title is Sydney. The movie's called Sydney. And so he keeps calling it Sydney, and he just keeps getting angrier and angrier while he's doing the commentary. It's fantastic. Monkey Bone is like that, too. No, but he was in the, what's the Canadian Mountie cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
He was in that. He was in the live-action.
George?
No, that's George of the Jungle.
Dudley Do-Right?
Dudley Do-Right. Yeah, he was Dudley Do-Right. Brendan Fraser. All right, how about Kablam?
That was a mix of cartoons.
Okay.
So what I remember is that they would have all these little segments of cartoons intermixed, but the one I remember the most is it. One was of like a Barbie, and I think there was like a He-Man.
Mm.
And they were. It was kind of like stop animation.
Okay. Johnny Bravo, that was a great show. Yeah. Classic. Kenan and Kel, we know about that. Oh, Legends of the Hidden Temple, we did a whole segment on that show.
that movie, by the way?
Yeah, weren't they? They made a movie out of it, right? They were supposed to?
They're supposed to.
Yeah. How about Madeline? Or Madeline?
Oh, right, with the little girl who lived in the hotel.
Oh, right. Okay. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, we all know that. Ned's Newt.
Do not know.
Let's see. Pinky and the Brain. Legend. Legendary. Powerpuff Girls, the greatest television show in the history of everything.
Oh, yes.
Except for 100 Deeds for Eddie Dowd. No, Powerpuff Girls, man. That I have the entire box set at home. I watched it all the time. And the movie, Powerpuff Girls movie, was fantastic. And Mojo Jojo is my hero.
Mojo Jojo.
Oh, yeah. But I got to say, my favorite, and I'm a Buttercup guy.
Are you?
Oh, man, please. And I love all three of them, but I'm a Buttercup guy. So
there was some Powerpuff Girls walking around C2E2 not too long ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I love the Powerpuff Girls. I love that. I remember Steve Bertrand was hosting the Saturday show, Dan, after Roy retired. There was a little time where Bertrand was hosting it. And in the week that that movie came out, he went to see it, and he hated it. He thought it was the worst thing he'd ever seen. We got into, like, a massive argument.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, this movie rules. It's the greatest movie ever made. Are you kidding me? So, all right, we got a break here and get to the news, and then we'll wrap this up soon here. And if you guys want to jump in, we just got some texts coming in. But I still don't hear anybody 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd. I'm obsessed. All right, we'll take a break. News next. I've never heard this before in my life. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, blah, blah, blah. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Margaret in Bridgeport wanted to hear John Denver, Grandma's Feather Bed. I've never heard of that one before. So, welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. Coming up after the 4:30 news, Mike Oswald is the author of Your Guide to the National Parks, which is an incredible book that details all 58 national parks. It's National Parks Week, so we're going to talk to him about that coming up a little bit later on, how you and your family can enjoy these great parks. He's been to 48 of the 58 parks in the country, so we're going to get to that. And we're wrapping the 90s children's shows, and we're going to jump into stock characters. These are cliched characters, stereotypical characters that you find, you know, in movies and in TV shows. Stock characters, that's the term for them. And we'll go through them, talk a little bit about those and some of the movies that involve them. So to wrap it up, we got some text. 779 area codes. Two Stupid Dogs was an epic cartoon back in the day. I remember Two Stupid Dogs. Megan says, my favorite 90s kids show is Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, Rocco's awesome.
And it says it's one of those shows that when you watch it as an adult, you realize there were a lot of mature jokes. I named my dog after Rocco, so it always has significance to me.
Oh, cool.
It's Megan. She liked Rocco.
You know, at one point he was a sex phone operator.
Who?
Rocco.
What do you mean, in real life?
Yes, in real life. You know, off the scenes. In the show.
What? Why would they have that on the show?
I don't know, because that's what they did. They did, like, adult jokes, and they wouldn't get it.
Wow.
Well,
yep.
Wow.
I definitely didn't get that one back then.
All right. 224 area code. Bear in the Big Blue House was awesome. One of the only shows I enjoyed watching with my kids besides Arthur. 773 area codes. I remember Darkwing Duck and Gargoyles. What about Tailspin and DuckTales? Those are pretty classic. 708 area code. Big comfy couch. We loved it. Ask Esmeralda.
It's just unsettling, that clown lady.
Ask Esmeralda about, we still do, it says, we still do the 10-second tidy here at our house.
Oh, right.
Is that when you tidy up the couch?
Right.
The clown would tidy up the couch.
Mm-hmm. So she'd go in that fast motion and it would be 10 seconds.
I think I need to see this show, too.
She was just weird.
All right. Not one comment about 100 things with Eddie McDowd or whatever the hell, whatever it was called.
No one has good taste.
No, 100 why. Deeds of Eddie McDowd. No, nothing, right? Dan, nothing.
Crickets.
I am so, so disappointed by that.
I mean, they may just be watching the old VHS tapes they have of it.
That's right. They're not listening. You
know. They should have them reboot it. Do like a marathon at facets.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
The whole thing. Have the whole cast show up.
Yeah. I'm sure that there would be lines around the block for that.